get into tonight's message. Also, let me just say this. If you come here and experience our prayer times from I'll speak to you here for about 25 minutes, and then we go right into prayer for an hour, and we would love for you guys to be able to come out and experience that as well. Tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about pressing in. Thomas Carlyle says it this way. It's very quick. No pressure, no diamonds. And if it wasn't for pressure, we would never know the most beautiful stones on planet Earth. And there's things in our lives that create pressures in our life. Let me just go through a couple of them. Health issues, finances, things that mentally that we kind of allow to come into our minds. How about spiritual? Or how about first dates? I had a buddy that I roomed with at Bethany University. He was my roommate for 3 years there. And every time he went out on a date with a girl, whether it was first date or second date or third date, he was always in the bathroom throwing up. I don't understand that. I don't understand that type of pressure. But he was, he was kind of a, I don't want to say the word, but he was one. Yeah, there you go. A lot of pressure on those dates. But does God really care about this? And I would say, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for saying that. The answer is yes, he does. But sometimes the pressure that obstacles and trials can put on us, and I want you to think about this, or even the pressure we put on ourselves, it must be met with even more pressure to overcome them. All right? Because of God, we have the ability to meet pressure with pressure. And the Bible points to this. It's called pressing in. And pressing in is, it's God only. It's only God is going to be able to handle what I'm bringing or what I am going through. And throughout the Gospels, we read of crowds and individuals that pressed in. They pressed and made their way to Jesus. You see, when we press in, we're pressing in past embarrassment or where we failed multiple times. We're pressing in through experiencing no joy in our lives or sacrifice or desperation. We also press in not just because we need help. We press in because we want more. We need more. We're searching for more. We're searching for more of His truth, His confirmation, His favor, His anointing in our lives, direction, or even just that we want more out of this life. In James 1, starting with verse 2, it says, "Don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them. If you embrace them, your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And true patience brought on by endurance will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing." Isn't that a great scripture? And when we reach the place of having to press into God, one of the first things, and we talk about this a lot, the way that the enemy will attack us is through fear. And guys, listen, the reason that I feel like the Lord kind of continually wants to make us aware of the times that the enemy will use fear against us is because it happens daily. It can happen and it can destroy somebody. Fear of failure, ridicule, disappointment, or change. Listen, I've got friends and family that hate change. They despise it, and it creates fear in their lives. That this night, they might have the fear that maybe this will never be resolved. And to fight against the pressures of fear, we have to press in even harder. Look what Psalms 34, 4 through 6 says. "I prayed to the Lord, and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles." Types of prayer. Guys, listen to this. Have you ever thought about types of prayer? How about desperate prayer? Hurting prayer. Joyful. Angry, grieving prayer, thankful prayer. No matter how it looks or how it sounds, nothing is more important than reaching to God, getting to where He is. And I believe that this word tonight is for harvest. So guys, here's my first thought is this right here. Press in when you have no more words. 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 15, we all that have heard the story know the story. If not, you're going to love it. It's the story of Hannah, and I want to just read this real quickly, and it says, starting with verse 9 through 15, it says, Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. And in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to you, Lord, for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And she kept on praying to the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled, and I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. You know, being accused of being drunk while praying, I would just say this right, guys. That's pressing in. I mean, when somebody accuses you of being drunk while you're praying, I can just tell you right now, that's the definition of pressing in. Hannah was praying in her heart. She was literally praying her heart to him. And Paul says this in Romans 8:26, we do not know sometimes what we ought to pray for. In fact, he goes on to say that the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Message says it this way, if we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. Just get before him. And God is okay with the times that we just don't know what else to say or pray. Your lips are moving, but nothing is coming out, and that's okay. God knows your heart, and he is more than capable of speaking to us in those times of our prayers. And I love the idea of just not knowing what to say. I love the idea that I can come to him in that type of place, just being obedient and pressing in to who he is, because he knows my heart, he knows our circumstances, and he knows exactly how to answer us. It was my first year at Bethany University in Santa Cruz, California. I was in all my classes and I'm studying constantly, and they had chapel services 5 times a week, and they had the chapel open 24/7 for any of us that wanted to pray or anything like that. Well, I had gotten to a place, and I just confided in one of my roommates. I just told him, I said, look, I just feel like for the past 3 months that I'm not hearing from God. You know, I'm not feeling his presence the way that I was at the beginning of the year. The Bible is becoming more of a study book to me than the Word of God. I'm going to talk even a little bit more about that on Sunday. But I was really struggling. And guys, you know me. I'm just going to be transparent. There's times when I speak that I go to tears. I'm very transparent that way, and I've never been ashamed of it. It's just the way that I express myself sometimes. But guys, I had noticed for 3 months, like in my prayer times and the worship times or anything that was going on, that there was no tears. There was no nothing going on. And I remember my buddy just kind of sitting down in front of me, and he just said, Matt, listen, this is what I want you to do. Go to the chapel. Don't take your Bible. Don't take your back then it was Walkman. Don't take your Walkman with you. Go down to the chapel. It was 12 at night. He says, just go down there and just sit with the Lord and just see what he says to you. So guys, I go down there, got down there probably about 12:15, sat down. There was somebody praying in the back. There was somebody who was laying in between the pews, just kind of praying there. And I went down to the front and I just sat there. And I quickly just said this. I said, Lord, I go, I'm here and I'm waiting for you. I'm going to sit here until you speak to me. And so guys, 3.5 hours later, around 3:30 in the morning, for 3.5 hours, the Lord visited me in one of the most special ways that I will never forget, where his Holy Spirit just came and sat on top of me and began to break me in his presence, amen? To just fill me with worship. I remember singing and praying. I remember finally reaching over and grabbing a Bible that was on the pew down there and just reading through his word. God will meet us no matter what we're going through, what time it is at night. He knows how to get us through what we're going through, even if you don't know what it is. I had no clue, but I knew where to go. You don't have to be eloquent with your words to approach Jesus Christ. Amen? Laying it at his feet, catch this, you guys, requires no words. Okay? Lifting your hands to the Lord in praise, or just lifting him in surrender, requires no words. It's just going to him. Press in. I would say it this way. Cry. Laugh. Be silent. sometimes write it down. No matter how it is that you approach him, no matter how it is that you press into him, God will respond. Amen? Here's a second thought. Press in no matter how it is perceived. Okay? I've shared in the past that when I came to Christ, you know, because I came out of a place that was not good. I had a lot of friends before I went to Jesus. And how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And as soon as they found out that I had given my heart to Jesus, all of a sudden, all the friends that I thought I had, all of a sudden, were not available to me or didn't want to have anything to do with me. I was perceived in a different way. I think about the blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Let's look at the story very quickly in Mark 10, 46 through 49. It says, then they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, said, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. And only you know what is exactly going on in your heart when you know you're pressing into the Lord. As transparent as I am with my wife, and I am, there are things sometimes that only Jesus knows exactly what's going on in my life. Sometimes we are going to have to fight for what we want. Bartimaeus could have easily shut up and received the rebukes, and he could have just kind of went into this attitude, you know what, I'm blind now, and I'm just going to be blind for the rest of my life. And I'm not sure why it irritates people so bad when a believer goes to God with great faith. I'm not sure why that bothers them. They say it's always God, God, God with you. But here's the truth. A child of God knows where his or her help comes from. That's the truth. Bartimaeus knew that this was it. This is what I've been waiting. This is what I'm going to do. These that are rebuking me can't help me. Does everybody understand that? The way that people perceive us, the people that say things, they can't help us. Jesus can, amen? And he knew this. And they'll still be here tomorrow rebuking me. So I need to be there, and I will do whatever it takes to get there, no matter what people think or how it is perceived. Remember, it was Jesus that commended him, saying, your faith has healed you. Nobody else was going to be able to say that to Bartimaeus. He was pressing in to Jesus. Bartimaeus wanted one thing with all his heart, and he was applying pressure. He shouted. They said, shut up, stop it. Even shouted more and louder, and they rebuked him. Many rebuked him, but he pressed in to Jesus anyway. He didn't care how it looked, and he was met with healing. Can you give me an amen for that? All right, let's look at the Canaanite woman, found in Matthew 15, 22 through 28. So his disciples came to him. She is making a scene, guys. So they come to Jesus and they urge him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. And then Jesus answered, woman, you have a great faith. Your request is granted, and your daughter was healed from that very hour. She didn't care how she looked. She needed a miracle, and she pressed in unashamed. So I would say this before I end this point. Press into God, no matter how it is perceived. I'd rather hear God say, I love your faith, than hear anything else from anybody else. Amen? So let's go into the third point, is this right here. Press in and do whatever is necessary to be close to him. Mark 2, 4 through 11 says this. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof. Remember, we talked about this. Above his head, and they lowered the man on his mat and right down in front of Jesus. And here's the thing. What we discussed in the sermon not too long ago is that his friends were pressing in. They were doing whatever it could. When it seemed impossible to get their friend to Jesus, they did what it took, whatever it would take. It was a great life lesson. And I'm going to do. I've had to decide this a long time ago, that no matter what other people think, I'm going to do whatever it takes to find my place in front of Jesus. You guys, listen. There's times that I know when the enemy is going after me. One of the ways that the enemy goes after me is in my dreams, okay? And whatever's going on this week, whatever God is going to do this weekend, the enemy's been after me in my dreams. I've had a lot of working dreams that you never can end the work while you're in there. I've had a lot of like deep spiritual dreams where the enemy is attacking me in my dreams. And I can remember when I wake up and my heart is going and part of my reason when I wake up, I go, the way I'm thinking is I'm like, oh my Lord, you know, thank you that's a dream. But you got to understand, it's not just one day. It's the night is going after me and after me and after me. What is God going to do? I don't know. But I know that the enemy's trying to distract me. So here's what happens is that it's easy. It could be easy for me to go, oh, that's because I had this before I went to bed, or it's the pizza that I ate the night before. But I want to make sure that I say this, and I've said this before. It's not pepperoni pizza that's coming after me and my family. Okay? We can't blame that on other things. There is an enemy that is after us 24/7. That whatever they can do to just, if we just open the door just for a second, if we open the window, if I tried to even kind of revert back to my past before Jesus came into my life, the enemy knows he's there and he's ready to help me do that exact thing. He's after us. It never ends. And I recognize that there is an agenda to destroy my life, to destroy my family, destroy the purpose for my life. And he will come at me in my dreams. The enemy will come at me in my home, in my relationships, my mind, and of course, my heart. But here's the thing is that I've made a decision a long time ago, is that I will do whatever is necessary to be as close as possible to the one who holds my future. Sometimes, you know, if we get into deep conversations with our kids, you know, my kids now are 28, 24, and 21. And we get into these conversations sometimes, and in my mind and what I'm trying to say to them is that if my life was taken tomorrow, is that my kids have seen me live my life for Christ to the best of my ability. And I have given everything to my Savior. And that everything that I have done, it is for a purpose to build the kingdom. Have I always been perfect? Absolutely not. But I have made the decision to stay as close to the one who knows what's going inside my heart, who holds my future and holds my eternity. Amen? And it's important that we get to that place. God's word is full of promises that are available to every one of us, and I'm laying claim to the words of life that I can find in his word. Amen? Guys, Joel Osteen, I don't know if you remember this sermon that he did back in 2018, but it was called Commanded Blessing. Now, I don't know if he had revamped this from a message that he had done years before, but this is the first time I had ever heard it. And he was basically pulling out of the scripture in Psalms 133, 1 and 3. Now, let's just read this together. It says this: Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And what Joel tried to bring out and what he did bring out in his message was that if God has commanded blessing into our lives, then it doesn't matter what the enemy's plans are against us. God had commanded blessing of life evermore into us. That God commands these blessings, that when we read these blessings throughout the Bible that we read, some scholars believe there's over 10,000 promises in the Bible alone. That if I claim these, if I stand on these, that God has commanded these into our lives. The enemy can plan all they want, but if God has commanded blessing to be released in our lives, the enemy can't stop it. They can't steal it. He can't confuse it. The enemy has no say in what God has spoken. This is the Lord that we serve. I am doing everything I can to be where God is and where he wants me to be. The enemy can and will make a lot of noise, but God's blessing cannot be stopped. It cannot be stopped. And I want to encourage you with that. Whatever the struggle is, whatever the mindset is, whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're wanting to go toward, that when the enemy stands up or friends, how they're perceiving it, whatever it is that tries to come and become an obstacle in your life, that if you're pressing into the Lord, He is the one. He's the one that commanded the blessing. I can't listen to noise. I have to look straight and go with what the Lord has called. Get as close to God as possible. Press in. Everybody say press in. Press in. Guys, look, if you wanted to start bench pressing tomorrow, ladies, guys, whatever, you're wanting to get strong, you want to lay down and get on the bench press, and you want to start, they make things now. I saw one an advertisement the other day. It's a strap that goes across your chest. It hooks around your triceps and your biceps. It goes across here that as you go down, it takes pressure off of the press so that you can press more weight. It's the craziest thing that I've ever seen, but it's made so that you can get stronger. And I'm thinking about that. If I'm pressing into God, God has given us one of the greatest things to help us with strength, and that is His Holy Spirit. That if I'm pressing into God, and I know that His Holy Spirit is going to meet me where I am and how I'm pressing in. Remember, I don't have to be eloquent. I don't even have to say a word. I can just be moving my lips. But I'm pressing in. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to meet me. And it's going to give me strength. It's going to give me the courage and the boldness to come out of whatever I'm going through or whatever I'm wanting to go into. And it's there 24/7. Holy of Holies. Think about this for a second. Tabernacle, first temple, second temple, wherever you want to look at it. Listen, the Holy of Holies, everybody wanted to be close to there. Not a lot of people were brave enough to go in there or were allowed to go in there, but everybody wanted to be as close as possible. Why? Why? Because it's where God was. They knew His presence was there. It was the only place that His presence would be, and they wanted to do whatever they could to be there. It's where God was, and we have now direct access to Jesus whenever we want. It's the most incredible thing when you think about it. That just a few thousand years ago, you couldn't do this. But because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have this direct access to Him. Look at the scripture in Hebrews 6, 19 through 20. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. If you want to be close to Him, His presence is available to you. Can you give me an amen? Your worship, your reading your word, your prayer time puts you in the presence of God. And that's where we want to be. I want to close this up real quickly. And I want to read this last portion of scripture here. And it's in Luke 11, 5 through 9. It says this. Then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through just showed up and I don't have anything on hand. The friend's answer from his bed is, don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't get up to give you anything. But let me tell you, even if you won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. And here's what I am saying. Ask and you'll get it. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. It comes out of the message. That's a great version of that scripture. Amen. In the Greek, okay, and I'm not going to go into this in detail, whatever. The words ask, seek, and knock are used. And the Greek is just basically saying this. Keep asking. I love the idea that if you need healing in your body and you were to pray tonight and you were to pray for the hour that we're going to pray together and you need healing or you need a job, you need something to go your way. If it doesn't happen tonight, guess what we get to do? We get to do it again tomorrow. We have that type of access to God that we can just keep going to Him and keep going to Him until He answers us. And guys, here's the thing is, I've thought about, you know, keep asking. I've thought about all of this. I've thought about how we have this place to where, guys, sometimes it's tough. Lori and I have been praying the same prayer in different ways, but the same prayer for 10 years. And I'll get up and I'll pray the same prayer tomorrow until there is an answer. Amen? Until there's an answer. But God is faithful and he will answer those who press in. God is big enough to handle the pressure that you and I face. I promise you. All of us at the same time, no matter what that pressure is, God is big enough to take care of it. So I'm just going to say this. Stop fearing and start finding. Stop blaming and start building. Stop holding back and start letting go. In the name of Jesus, press in and live. Live life to the fullest, pressing in to the God that we know saves us, delivers us, and has his hand in our lives. Galatians 5:1 says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Apply pressure with prayer. Be intentional in meeting with God. And then lastly, in the face of any resistance, press in. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us today. I thank you for just your impact that you've had on all of our lives. And Father, I pray for any that are online or here tonight that, God, they need something from you. Lord, they have something going on that they just need some help. Lord, they need wisdom. Some of us might be here just because we want more. We want more of what you have. We want more of your calling in our life. We want more of your hand to move in our life. Whatever that is, Lord, we want to press into you. And I pray, God, that as we do, as faithful as you always are, dear Lord, that we will immediately feel your Holy Spirit coming and giving us strength, speaking words of wisdom to us, giving us direction. And I just pray this in your holy and precious name, not because you have to, but because you said you would. Your word is full of where you say you will be there with us. And so I thank you for this and ask it in your holy and precious name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, God bless you guys, and hopefully we'll see you here.